And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, April 4th, 2006. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this song. Listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Well, thanks for being here. Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
I sure will. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne this morning, Lord. We thank you for another day and another opportunity to serve you, Lord. Thank you for your power, might, and majesty over our lives and over these events that go on. Lord, we know that you have it well in hand, and we just proclaim the deity of Christ and the authority of God Almighty over all these events, Lord, we don't always understand, but we claim the promise that you will work it for good for your people. Lord, I just pray that you build a hedge of protection around your people, around this land and around this nation, Lord, and that you would lift us up and let us be that light upon the hill that proclaims the name of Jesus Christ to all the world, that we would not be ashamed of whatever names they want to call or evil things that come out of their mouth, Lord, but that we would rely upon God Almighty as our benefactor, and Lord, that we would be vindicated in your name for our service. Forgive us our trespasses as a nation and as individuals, both known and unknown. Lord, bless this broadcast. Protect our families. So pray for each of those. And Lord, I just pray that you prosper the work of our hands and all that we undertake to do in your name. We ask these things. In Jesus Christ's name and by his blood, we pray. Amen.
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 Well, there is definitely not a lack of stuff to talk about as far as world events or national events. Let's go to world news. And where would you guys like to start?
Well, I guess we should talk a little bit about Iran and what's going on there. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to see, but yesterday was not a good day for the United States military. I think it is confirmed now. I think all of the media is agreeing. There was one F-15 Eagle taken out of the air, along with an A-10 Thunderbolt or a Warthog, depending on what you want to say, and two Black Hawk helicopters. I don't know if you guys got to catch any of that or not.
I did a little bit. I don't think there was any survivors on anything, was there?
They've recovered two pilots. I don't know from what aircraft, Jason. The A-10 pilot, he got hit over Iran and was actually able to fly outside of the airspace of Iran, and he ejected, and I know he made it.
Oh, he did. Okay.
And then another pilot was able to be recovered, but I don't know from what aircraft or whatever. And this was not like dogfights or anything. This was just some land-based weapons, anti-aircraft weapons that they were using to defend their airspace. Not a lot of it. I can't even tell you where in Iran it happened, but the key there is, you know, that is a I don't know what those aircraft cost, but I guarantee it, we're in the millions and millions and millions of dollars of losing those. And the helicopters, they were just hit. They were able to return to base, but I believe the A-10 Warthog and the F-15, they were complete losses. I think in each instance, the pilots ejected from those aircraft.
Okay.
The two aircraft, I don't know about the Blackhawks, but the two aircraft, as I've seen, were valued at over $164 million. So,
if wow.
I want numbers on that. And I also heard that Iran, and I don't have an update on this, so this may be old news, Iran had offered a major reward for the capture of one of the damn pilots that was on Iranian soil. So
I saw that too, Tim.
Yeah. So I don't know whether he's still out there or been picked up and is now, you know, okay or what. But it's not really. You don't just shoot an A-10 out of the air. They're not super simple. But they're pretty tough. They are a ground-to-air attack aircraft. I mean, they're designed to soak up lots of fire and an air to ground. Yeah, did I say that right? But anyways, there are lots of titanium armor, lots of upgraded capabilities, and some of the guys are going, well, it was an F-15 that went out of the air. You know, they're not, and F-15s aren't exactly. I mean, compared to maybe some of the new stuff as far as the electronic warfare measures that are installed on that aircraft, but there's still no slouch. So we're, yeah, there's some head scratchers there, but I had Blackhawks.
The two Blackhawks, my understanding, Tim, was their mission was to locate the F-15 pilots. And while attempting to locate those pilots, they started taking incoming rounds, and they sustained a severe enough damage to the helicopters that they had to leave the airspace, so they weren't able to look for the pilots, and they were grounded.
Wow.
And for the listeners, the F-15, it's a two-man aircraft, and in this instance, I don't know if it was the pilot or the flight officer, I'm not sure, but one of those pilots was recovered, and the other is still missing, as I checked just before we went on air, and officially they have not located him. And going back to what Tim was saying, we're more than 24 hours, right at about 24 hours now, and that's not good. Typically you want to get in there as quick as possible to recover your pilots, and whenever these guys are flying these missions like that, there are support aircraft that are waiting in the wings just for this type of thing. If they have a downed plane or whatever, they have these Blackhawks. And the A-10 itself, and if you're listening, you don't know what an A-10 is, get on the internet and check them out. They are some of the most robust, impressive aircraft that we have, and they're old. I mean, they're it's not a new piece of technology. We've been flying these for a long time, and out of all the things I wish I could have an A-10. That would be really cool. I wouldn't have to wait in traffic anymore. I could clear my own path, but they're very, very robust. You don't hear about them getting shot down very often. That A-10 was put into the sky looking for those pilots. They were flying low and trying to locate them when they started taking fire. So it's unfortunate. I will tell you too, I was looking at some Russian media, and this is relatively new as of this morning. Iran is also saying they have taken down an F-35 this morning.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
There's no official
flip on that too.
There's no official anything from our government, but Iran is saying they took down an F-35. And to Tim's point, there's a lot of armchair quarterback saying, well, it's an F-15, that's an old fighter jet, and it doesn't have the capabilities of some of our new fighter jets. Well, the fact of the matter is we were flying them, and we were using them, and it was shot down, and if they took a 35 down, that's one of the latest and greatest that we have. So the point being, I guess, in all of this, Jason, is there is a real war being fought in Iran. It's not just shock and awe and missiles. We have American soldiers and airmen that are losing their lives over there.
Right.
And I know we talked two or three weeks ago when all this kicked off, and we said, it'll be 4 or 5 weeks in, and then they're going to give us a death total, and we're all going to be like, wow, how did that happen? And I was looking for that this morning, and there's still nothing officially put out there. I was reading some rumblings that it may be up to 130 already, but that's not official. Those aren't official numbers.
Wow.
Yep.
Dang.
Yeah, that's. Well, I kind of can't help but feel that we were kind of sold this. Optic that Iran was more compared to what we had. Iran was backward, and I mean that kind of was the general grist mill situation. Like, well, yeah, they're a major power over there, but they're nothing here. And it kind of feels like there's a lot of pressure being brought to bear here. I mean, and I think the time frames say that too. Remember the original people forget these these sound bites, you know, well, we're going to be in there for a week and we're going to be done. That was a couple months ago, you know, and now they're talking about, another few months probably. So it's like, yeah, which I think we also kind of spoke to that when it happened, like pretty unlikely. So, yeah. And there's a lot of fight going on there with soldiers and our local citizens over it.
One of the, you know, we do talk about, you know, the playbook, right? It's the same old playbook. And I can show you new sound bites or let you listen to a new sound bite from Vietnam where we had people like Dulles and McNamara, guys that were embedded in the U.S. government, that D.C. swamp, that were saying things like, well, we can't turn back now. You know, what was supposed to be a military policing action or a limited action, you know, now, you know, U.S. soldiers and airmen and sailors are losing their lives, and these guys are saying, well, we have to move forward now. We can't withdraw. You know, if we withdraw, it's a loss. And I'm not even saying that's wrong. I'm just saying the same things are already being said, to your point, Tim, of whatever these limited military actions. Well, now we're losing lives and we're losing aircraft and we're, you know, it's become real, and that is going to make these the usual suspects just dig in deeper. And this is how you get caught in that trap. And I have a hard time believing that it may be what Trump was saying. It may be what was being reported in the news. But I have a hard time believing that any military man worth his salt believed that Iran was going to be a pushover. Because they're not. They should have known this was going to be protracted. These guys, they're itching for a fight. You know, this is what they've waited for, and it's happening. And they have spent a lot of time and money, our money even, building up for a war like this. And we're giving it to them, and they're showing that they're formidable. So we'll see. We'll see how this turns out. But that it's been a deadly day for U.S. military aircraft. And depending upon if this F-35 thing turns out to be true, at least in my memory, I can't think of, even during the whole sandbox stuff with Iraq and Afghanistan, I don't remember a day where we lost multiple aircraft like that. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and did you guys see the there's a kind of a letter and a video going around where they're showing, I think it's the Marine Reservist Commandant, I don't know rank, I'm sorry, I don't remember, but he's in charge of the Marine Corps Reservist, and he put out a letter to everyone saying, you know, are your houses in order? Are your families ready to go? Because pretty good chance you're going to be called up to service, you know, as you get ready and everything else. So that kind of takes another poke at a protected status for this and calling up reserves. And in the meantime, the undercurrent on that whole situation is there are, and they're downplaying this to the absolute max, but there are a lot of military, well, let's call them soldiers. That's what they are. But who are saying, hey, we don't want to go fight for Israel. You know, I mean, we've been there, done that, seen it, not interested. And it's, and I mean, there's a bunch of them. So, and Europe has no interest in participating over there, it would seem like. I mean, there's some stuff going on there with, well, let's see, I was trying to find my issue, but basically what Iran's kind of trying to tempt Europe with a Strait of Hormuz option where they get access to the strait, you know. So that's kind of a unique situation, isn't it?
Very unique. I'll take a turn, Jason, and I'll just say this because Tim was talking about just now the Marine Corps reserves and the commandant there telling these guys to, you know, really be prepared for deployment. And somewhat quietly over the last couple of weeks, there has been a troop buildup of thousands of Marines and airborne U.S. Army soldiers that are gathering in the general area of Iran. And there's a lot of speculation that this there's an island off the coast there in Iran that's called Karg Island, and it's where their major refineries are. The major oil business is conducted there, and there's a lot of speculation that we'll see a full-blown invasion of starting there using the Marines and these airborne soldiers. And I just want to throw this out at y'all. This talk about a weird thing to talk about when we're sitting here and talking about American servicemen going into harm's way. So tomorrow is what the world calls Easter. And we know, you know, people who know, they know this is just a pagan goddess that has been thrust upon the Christian church of as far as tradition, and that goddess was Ishtar. And it's strange enough to me that this is a goddess that's usually associated with fertility, but in the Babylonian and Assyrian system, Ishtar was also the goddess of war. And so she kind of governed over death and life. And it occurred to me early this morning, I was sitting and reflecting this morning about all of these guys. What do y'all think the chances are, or the significance, the symbolic nature of these guys that pull the levers, sending our ground troops in tomorrow on an Easter Sunday?
Wow. Yeah. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, to me, and I'm not buying into Easter. I don't want anybody to think that. But I'm thinking like the enemy. These are people who worship pagan deities, not the true God, and they like to sacrifice our people. And what a better time to do it than there's something like on what they call Easter Sunday. And the other side of that, too, is think about the public perception there of the rank and file Judeo-Christian in the United States, that if we see our boys in harm's way getting killed on Easter Sunday, what that would do to the psychology of getting behind a war effort. I'll tell you guys, I'm not so sure that that's not the plan of to see that happen tomorrow. And I don't want to speak that into truth. I'm letting my mind go there. And I don't think it's an accident that we're seeing all this happen at this time.
I don't believe that it is either. I think that you're right. And I can see that, yeah, and I think that it's one of those things that our enemies, they like those blood sacrifices too, and I think that they, you know, would like to have one of those happen on one of their pagan holidays.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, and if you think about it, it's their pagan holiday that they have, you know, through subterfuge embedded. And the other fact is there's a lot of Christian churches that are saying, oh, well, this is, you know, Christ, the day that he arose. So there are a lot of people who buy into that element of it. You know, it's like, oh, well, how about we just scar that a little bit with sacrifice? You know, I mean, it's, yeah, there's a I agree. There's a broadband mind bender going on there. I mean, like, and it's sad.
Indeed. I'll take. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I'm thinking about, well, the Jews. I was just thinking about the Judeo-Christian church and that sort of thing. And I don't know if you guys were able to take a look at this, but so the governing body in the state of Israel is called the Knesset. It's their lawmaking body. And the Knesset this week passed a law. Israel, on the books, has a death penalty, but no one gets put to death in Israel. They don't do that. But this week they passed a death penalty law, but in the law it says it's only for Palestinians. It's not for any other people. So if you're a Palestinian and you're convicted for terrorism, by law, you automatically receive a 90-day death sentence. So you get 90 days between the time you're convicted to the time you're hanged. And that is now the law of the land in Israel. So there is a – in the faith – now, I'm going to put this in perspective of the same people who have infiltrated our legal system in the United States that cry things like racial injustice, two-tiered systems, if you're this kind of person versus this kind of person, and the things that they have perverted our legal system with that are not true, they're doing openly in front of everyone in the state of Israel, where they have created two legal systems that this does not apply to anyone but Palestinians. And to prove the point even more, and by the way, as a reminder, there are Palestinians that are Christians. This has nothing to do with being a Muslim or anything like that. It's just if you're a Palestinian. So along those lines, there are such things as Jewish terrorists, and I mean there in Israel. And in the West Bank, there are repeated incidences of these settlers, what they call settlers, which are these Israelis that have gone into this Palestinian territory. And we've talked about this on the program of they're burning down Orthodox churches. They're burning down Christian communities and driving these people off. All of these things that here we would say is an act of terrorism or a hate crime or whatever, there it's happening. And the Israeli government is doing nothing to punish these people. As a matter of fact, they're encouraging it. They are encouraging these settlers to do these incursions, like in the West Bank, to overtake the Orthodox Christian communities and the Muslim communities as well. But they're burning down homes. They're killing people. They're burning down stores. They're burning down hospitals, all of these sort of things that would be considered an act of terrorism. And they've gone completely unpunished. But this week they made a law saying if you're a Palestinian and you are convicted of terrorism, you get the death penalty within 90 days.
Yeah. And you go through a military court that has a 96%
that's right.
conviction rate. Yeah. So that's
right.
That's what in this country we call that a kangaroo court. I mean, basically, one of the takeouts of that terrorist law that I thought was telling is and I'll read it. It was the new death penalty for terrorist law specifically targets Palestinians, calling for capital punishment cases where a quote unquote terrorist is convicted of deliberately killing a person quote with the intent to deny the existence of the state of Israel end quote. So
yep.
And if you followed along here at any point, we've talked about it before. According to the Jewish philosophy and idealism, the only ones that are persons are them. Everyone else is goyim, you know. So this is you have to put it into the proper framework to understand it. This is and it isn't just the case of Palestinians. I mean, basically, this law could easily be reframed and targeted to anyone with the intent to deny the existence of the state of Israel. I mean, it's just, the whole thing is, oh, it just reeks of you know, political maneuvering and racial profiling and all the things that in the news and everything else that they decry. You know, they go, oh, this is bad, but that's exactly what they're doing. You know, so it's like, yeah. So
I think it's just that greater example, Tim, of, you know, there's rules for thee and rules for me, right? So these guys that have infiltrated are undeniably now infiltrated our lawmaking process. And I'm talking about the state of Israel, you know, with their AIPAC and all of that sort of stuff. You know, they've pushed for these laws to be passed, like you're talking about racial profiling, Tim, or whatever the case may be. But yet, absolutely. All of that stuff, well, that's what they want for us, for the Goyim. That's what they want for us, for themselves. They want to say you're an enemy of Israel, so we're going to hang you within 90 days. That's what it is. And also remember, these Palestinians are dirt poor. It's not like they're going to be able to afford, you know, Jerry Spence to come defend them. So in these military tribunal, what they're going to have is an Israeli appointed military lawyer. How do you think, how good of a defense do you think he's going to make?
Not good at all.
That's how good.
No. Well, we talk about it here, about the fact that these rules just like that, that's kind of the more extreme edge, because that's over there in the state of Israel. But in the states of the United States, we have the Israel Anti-Boycott Act and all those that have been adopted by different states, where you have to do that. And if you don't do that, and you know, you're in all kinds of trouble. And also, they'd really like to pass these rules that say basically if you're speak out against any of that kind of stuff here, why, you're liable of hate crimes, you know. So it's just a short skip and a jump from hate crimes and that kind of talk to what you're seeing go on over there, with the fact that now you're reclassified as a terrorist and we're going to hang you in 90 days. So it's a slow slope.
It sure looks like we're pointed in going that direction.
Wow. They're not going to get it. That's what they want, but they're not going to get it.
Right.
That's his, So.
Well, and I seen something come across the news late last night, early this morning, and it was basically that Christians over there were warned that the Israelis have been warning the Christians to not take in any Palestinians. Otherwise, the Christians could be charged with, I don't know, they passed some new law telling them that, and this was for Lebanon, that they would be charged with housing terrorists. And that what's that?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
And there was like over 600,000 of them that were displaced recently, and they don't expect them to be able to return. Just it looks like they're just, you know, widening that border of Israel and pushing and taking more land. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Warren.
I just called in. Do you guys know how many days we've actually been involved in that war?
I do not.
I mean, the interesting thing is, you know, tomorrow is their Easter Sunday or whatever, and, you know, the Esther goddess is a goddess of war, and then stopping, you know, the Catholic Church and those, they go through that Advent time 40 days and 40 nights where, you know, from Ash Wednesday till now, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
We're talking about the Black Hawk helicopter, too, being in the National Guard. I've seen the firepower on one of them. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of them.
No doubt.
So, well, I just want to throw that thought in there. I mean, it'd be a good time to go to war, you know. Actual war on a day it's supposed to be a peace day.
Yeah, I think it's very possible that that's what they intend on doing.
I mean, it's possible too that it started on that last Wednesday. We know it's on a Saturday, but it started during Lent.
Warren, it's been 5 weeks today, 35 days.
Right. Yeah. So it was in Lent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, God
I think
bless
the
Yeah, thanks for calling, Warren.
Thanks, Warren. I think the official start date of Epic Fury was February 28th, if I remember right, or something like that. So, but it's been, just a little over 2 months ago. I mean, it's like,
weren't we just being told over and over and over that, this is going to be over within a week or two?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that a week to 10 days,
Week to 10 days. That's what I remember hearing.
Yeah.
And that's what I kept saying is if we're there for if 3 more weeks, then we're going to be there for 4 or 5 years. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We're only going to have to wear those masks for 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah, that's a good point, right?
And then 4 years later. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, Sheena.
That's right.
Just
follow that goat in. You'll be all right.
Oh man.
This isn't fear porn. This is just outcry to God, that hey, these things aren't right. So, and my prayers are with our service members that are over there and for their lives, and that they'd find the truth, and that they'd find our Lord. But it's just one of those things. I tell you what, there's a lot more of them that are taking smart pills than sometimes in the past, at least I think. So it's like, wait a minute, we don't want to fight for Israel. We're not, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So
I think you are 100% right, Tim.
Yeah. Thank you.
I do.
Well, and in the meantime, there's a lot of clamor, and this is something that talks to our people. We need to keep your head up, because they're really, really concerned about it coming here, and whether that would be a false flag situation to gain, general political and public support for this situation, or whether it's actual attacks is really irrelevant. The point is you still need to be aware. And I know that one of the things I thought was interesting and points toward that was Hegseth came out, a couple days ago, and lifted the ban on service members carrying personal firearms on base. So across, that would be in-house. Well, I'm sure it'd be foreign bases too, probably, but... in the United States. And I don't know about anybody else, but it's always seemed a little strange to me. I found this to be odd my whole life. It's like, so you're on a military base, you're a sworn member of the United States military, but when you're on base or anything, you don't have any weapons, you have no combat readiness unless it's issued to you. And I can remember hearing stories about the fact that even sentries sometimes aren't issued ammunition, that are line sentries in the United States. They're carrying a weapon, but they don't have any ammo, and I don't know whether that's true or not, but the point is I think this is a readiness element that kind of goes out and around military protocol and allows some of these guys to be in a situation to increase readiness in the event of a at-home attack. What do you guys think?
I think you're spot on, Tim. I always ask, you know, why now? And this is nothing new. I know going back, it was either, and Tim, you may know better than I do. I know this is at least 30 plus years, probably more like 35 going on to 40 years that your non-commissioned, your rank and file guys were not allowed to have personally owned firearms. There was a time that it was up to the base commander of an installation to decide if you were allowed to have, you know, sporting shotguns and that sort of thing, but you were never able to, like, carry, like, in your vehicles or anything like that. So why now? What changed? And typically you look at, is it a diversion? Well, this isn't a big enough story to divert anyone's attention from what's going on. You know, you look at the personal carry of soldiers stateside versus F-15s being shot out of the sky. Well, people are going to pay attention to the F-15. So there has to be another motive behind it. And to me, what makes sense is the stateside readiness of those troops, of the way it has been, like I said, for the last 3-4 decades, is there's certainly ammunition, there's certainly weapons on military posts, but they're behind lock and key, and there's 3 or 4 layers of a chain of command to get permission to be able to requisition those weapons. So if you had any type of kinetic attack on an installation, you're going to have a couple of centuries, and you're right, Tim, they may or may not even have armed weapons at the checkpoints. So I think this is a readiness move by the War Department, which tells me that they're expecting something.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I believe so too. I saw that, and what they say that it'd been in effect for 35 years?
Is that how long it's been?
It could be. Yeah, it's been a long time.
I think it started about 35 years ago, because they were talking about him overturning something that was 35, I'm pretty sure it was 35 years ago that they implemented that.
Yeah. And in the meantime, the other thing that's interesting is, and this is just another one of those, the Pentagon's annual suicide report was released Wednesday, but in 2024, 471 U.S. service members died by suicide, and 1,515 attempts were reported. Death by firearm was the most common method of suicide among all members of the military, including active duty reserves and the National Guard. That's a quote out of the report. But the point is obviously they don't have any, you know, you're kind of back to the same thing. If you're going to do something like that, the rules don't really matter to you anyways. So all you're right. doing is allowing the people who are following the rules to, you know, be target by doing this move. You've now switched the narrative to the point that at least they can answer back or protect themselves. And because it takes a while for, like, well, Will said it. It takes a while to get weapons into the hands of the guys. That if a base comes under attack, it's minutes when seconds count. You know, so.
Well, originally when you guys started talking about that, I was thinking that, you know, I was thinking, okay, maybe some, you know, Muslim Iranian sleeper cells, you know, decide to attack a base or something like that. But then I started thinking about it. You know, I mean, we had, you know, all these gangs and these gang that were getting money or ammunition from these bases. Maybe there's a lot more going on with the cartels, because you don't hear much about it. How come all of a sudden there's just like zilch talk about, you know, these cartels and MS-13 and all them and their gun trading and their ammo trading and stuff like that? All of a sudden, it's kind of interesting that you know, where do they tie into all this? Because we know that they're well armed and got plenty of ammunition that came off of our bases. So I don't know. I just can't help but think that maybe something like that ties into it as well.
really good point. I also think that the other question is how they get it off the bases. I mean, I think we may already have, and we've reported on this situation with various police departments and various, and a lot of these guys had were in the military, these illegal aliens that were already in the, what do you want to call it, establishment, embedded. So the response or the attack could literally come from inside the base. They're already there. You know, they just get activated. And, again, they don't care about the rules. They will have weapons that they need to do whatever they need to do. So it's a legitimate scenario, I think.
It is, and I know I've said this before, and I'll be a broken record and say it again. We know that going back at least to the Clinton administration, so that 30, 35 years, Jason, that there have been active cells of criminal street gangs inside our United States military, with the Navy and the Army being the largest as far as within the rank and file. That it was an outright strategy to infiltrate the military, and this was predominant in the Hispanic criminal street gangs as well as the Black criminal street gangs, where they put their young people into the military, and they learn skills, they learn trades, and I'm talking about military skills as far as shooting and moving and strategy and that sort of thing. But more importantly, they got them into positions of logistics and warehousemen. So if you look with the Office of Inspector General, the number of things like night vision goggles that go missing every year off of military posts, it's amazing. I mean, it is amazing. The stuff that we pay, you know, several thousand dollars for to try to get in our own hands, they're losing them hundreds and hundreds a year. And they're going somewhere. And I'm a guy that believes that, so like the military testing for like ASVABs and that sort of thing, these folks are getting put into these positions where they're driving the forklifts, they're maintaining the vehicles, they're working in the warehouses, and those are the ones that are responsible for these inside thefts. And those thefts are going directly back to their parent organizations, the criminal street gangs, time and time again. And this is all being driven from the cartels south of the border, where those orders had come up to the different wings of these gangs within the United States, and they're moving that stuff south. It happens, and it still happens today. So, Jason, you're spot on that, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. That's pretty crazy. What about what's going on over there? And I heard some remarks about Syrian leaders and meeting with that new German counselor and talking about all these Syrians. 80% of them going back to Syria in 80% in the next 3 years.
This has been kind of comical to me. So the AFD, this new the German chancellor Friedrich Merz met with the Syrian president al-Shara, the terrorist that is now wearing a suit, on March 30th, and the German chancellor comes back and says we are going to send back nearly a million Syrians back to Syria. And obviously the right wing of the German population, they love this, you know. Well, the next day, the al-Shara guy, the Syrian leader, comes out and says, yeah, I didn't say that. I didn't agree to that. Yeah. Yeah.
He said they started new lives and everything over there. What would they do?
Yeah.
Well, right. He even used the word, quote unquote, in one thing I read, they are a strategic asset to us,
yes,
in Germany.
Now, yes.
let that one sink in just a little bit. That sounds like war terms, really. It's like, well, we've already got our soldiers over there. So, you know, I mean, why would we take them back? Yeah, so.
Especially when you put in perspective, Tim, that this guy is a military leader. You know, he was the rebel leader in Al-Qaeda or ISIS or whatever you want to brand it that overthrew the Assad government in Syria. So when you get that kind of raghead going out and saying these are strategic assets, that's exactly what I believe.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not think that? And to put that into perspective, I did a little look up on this, so I want to share it real quick. But basically, Germany and Belgium, of course, they're terrified over there. I mean, they're not letting it out, but
yeah.
88% in Brussels, 88% of the population under 20 years of age are of foreign origin.
Yep.
You know,
dang.
That one.
That's a lot.
That's huge. Yes. That sounds like ground force, right? And then you turn around and look at Germany, and 8 out of 9 young people in the major German cities, in 8 out of 9 of the major cities, the numbers are similar. I couldn't really break it down percentage-wise, but they're not white either. They're a foreign origin.
Yeah.
So they've already been, and we've said it before, you know, numerically speaking, it only takes about 12 to 15% of the population to implement regime change or things like that. I mean, they could raise that are committed to it. So these guys are over there. I mean, talk about lunatics, but they're suddenly going, oh, hey, wait a minute. You know, we're basically, yeah, what are we going to do? We're being drummed right out of our own country, which is what we've talked about a lot in the past. It's like, no. And Syria's like, no, we don't want them back. They're there for a reason. So it's a legit concern. I mean, and yeah, Europe's kind of going, well, we got a problem here. And
you look at the city of Berlin, and in 2025, Berlin had, just the city of Berlin, 3,599 knife attacks in the city of Berlin. That's 10 a day.
Damn.
So 10 knife attacks a day in Berlin. And they're skewing the statistics a little bit. And what they're saying is 56% of the perpetrators in that were non-German nationals. Well, here's the key to that. If you look up the definition of what non-German national means, it's someone that is there without permission. Well, a lot of these refugees, these aliens that are there with official permission from Germany. If you really look at the numbers, when you look at ethnicity, it's about 90% of the perpetrators are 90%+ are illegal, are aliens. They're non-whites. They're non-Germans. So the overwhelming majority, and something interesting on this, if you really dive into the statistics, the remainder of these people that may be German, white Germans, they defended themselves with knives because they don't have guns, and were subsequently facing charges from the police for defending themselves, so they get included in the data.
Oh, gee whiz.
It's crazy. But overwhelmingly, this is foreign brown people that are creating these knife attacks, to the point of the AfD, which is the right-wing part of the government there in Germany. They've created a knife app, which is that details incidences of where these knife attacks are happening and that sort of thing, and keeping the stats so that you can look at the app while you're out and about and know which streets you should or should not go on.
Oh my goodness!
Because of the high incidences of roaming alien gangs that are knifing Germans. That is Berlin, a major European city.
Well, we just talked like 3 or 4 weeks ago about the fact that in the UK that they were putting stab kits on all of the public transit.
That's right.
Situations for what? Stab wounds and knife wounds on the buses, on the trains, and on those sort of things. So evidently it's a major problem over there too. So yeah, this is kind of goes along with that group, right? Yeah.
Boy, if we could only
they like knives.
If we could only bring back an Austrian artist or something for a while.
That's you said it, from my brain to your mouth.
Well, and it's another, I think this is another good, and this is just a kind of a pot shot for me, but this also shows you the low tech versus high tech tactic. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you have people scattered all over in this situation, they don't necessarily need fully automatic weapons and grenade launchers in order to create a serious problem.
Well, so, I mean, I want to stop a second. I'm just thinking about just, you know, an enslaved people. Okay, here, kids, here's your phone and here's your app, and you need to use this app to protect yourself. And, you know, you got to stay away from the danger zones, and you can't go down this street. I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, it's just, they're enslaved. It's,
yeah,
yep,
yeah,
hook, line, and sinker.
That seems like,
I mean, it's wow.
That's defensive.
That's why
mode.
That's why, yeah, we never exactly. Give up our guns.
Exactly.
That's right.
Right there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. You know, and they pass these. And I know in the UK, I'm not so sure about Germany. I won't pretend to know what their knife laws are there. But if you guys remember, after the in the early 90s, when they started banning all of the guns and the private ownership of guns and all of that sort of stuff, the next wave that came in the early 2000s because of these knife attacks and that sort of thing is you couldn't carry knives, and you know, it became like a felony if you had a knife over 8 inches, and just all of this sort of stuff. And I remember then, and this morning I'm flashing back to that, and I'm sitting here scratching my head saying, it's not the knives, you morons. It's the people who are carrying them. Just like it wasn't the guns. It's the racial strangers that you've allowed in amongst your women and children that hate you. You know, I'm the kind of guy that I'm a root guy, right? Like, get to the root problem. If you want to stop this, don't put a Band-Aid on top of it and say it'll be okay. You go right to the root and you yank it out and you toss it into the rubbish bin and let it wither and die. And the root problem here is you have people that have infiltrated and embedded themselves into your nation that hate you. They want to rape your children and rape your women and enslave you. This is what they want, and you have allowed it to happen. If you want your people to not have to use the app, Jason, if you want your people to stop bleeding in the streets, get rid of the people who hate you. Send them back to wherever they came from. They don't belong in our society because they're not like us.
Well, and I agree. And you can't help but know when you look at this that they have some support somewhere. Because just like over there in the UK, you're talking about the knife ban, you know, and everything. But they made an exemption for those people from over there in the sandbox because that was part of their religion. You know, that was part
That's right.
of
their culture. Yeah.
Racial identity. Yeah, their culture and identity. So let's see. Let's take the knives away from our people who don't do any of this anyways and leave it in the hands of the ones who do. This helps how? Yeah, exactly. No doubt. And
well,
talking about that,
I know I've got a friend of mine that's from Germany, and he's got right now he's trying to get his part of his family to come back over here. And they're talking about, they can't stand it there. The taxes are high. They're enslaved. I mean, trying to get a driver's license is $10,000. And what you've got to go to and the regulations on opening businesses and running businesses, taxation is over 50%. And I mean, they can't stand it. They want to come to America bad. But they're talking about, you know, it could take them 8 years to be able to get their paperwork done with sponsors and with having family here. Some of that stuff's just a mess. We got a caller on the line, though. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys, it's Barbie.
Hey, Barbie.
So I totally agree with Will. We have to get to the root of the problem. You have to remember that all wars are banker wars. The bankers are winning on both sides. And our country is insolvent.
This is not a valid menu option.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, something interrupted me. So if you look at it, Iran was one of the only countries without a Rothschild bank, Cuba and North Korea. Iran has a bigger gain for them with the oil, but it all is a scripted plan from these Zionists. That it's a good book. I got that protocol book. So they are taking the United States down by causing the inflation. Just wait. It's scripted, and it's the bankers. It's not, I believe that's the root. Also, I think that people should get extra stuff because they're going to do a lockdown on energy if they can. They're going to try. They're already doing it in Australia. And I just hope our people are ready. Now, there's 1.9 billion Christians in this world. There's 17 million synagogue of Satan, Antichrist. And if we rise up, they're done. So if that mentality could just penetrate people's minds, I think it would be a no-brainer that they'd be squashed.
Amen.
Great call. Great call, Barbie.
So the other thing is, can you guys just pray for this pain to get out of me? I've been fighting the devil this week with my hip. And, man, it like almost took me down, but I'm a fighter.
Absolutely. We'll pray for you right now. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we lift up Barbie to you. And Lord, she's been fighting this pain. And Lord, we want this pain gone, plain and simple. And we pray that you heal her hips and that you do a mighty work in her body right now, that you heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Lord, take this pain away. And we just pronounce the healing power of Jesus Christ upon her. And claim the truth that by the stripes laid on the back of Jesus Christ that she is healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And amen. That Passover service was really good, Jason. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I did a video on the video thing. Very nice.
Well, good. Well,
all right, guys. Well,
you have a good one.
If we can figure out how to stop these money changers, I think we'll be in much better shape.
Hey, man.
So, Barbie, I think Jesus made a whip and went in and drove them out. I think maybe that's a good answer.
Kind of a rude answer right there. Yeah.
All
right, guys. Be blessed and talk soon. Bye-bye.
All right,
thank you for the prayer.
Yep.
Bye, Barbie.
Well, we are just a little bit past the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break, have a song, and we'll be right back.
And the love of our Father's return. us, it's all but forgotten. And life is no longer rare. So long as the standard's before us, and in heaven stars proclaim. So long as the dew's in the meadow, so long shall the union remain. All the life has been taken from us, a people engulfed in a cloud, but may the standard remain undivided.
And we're back. Where do you guys want to go next? We still do, I think we still got some stuff to cover on some world news. Do we want to stick with that for a few minutes, or where you guys want to go?
I'm easy. Well, and we could maybe talk about the fact that drone warfare, they're making some noise about that. Again, we talked about drones a little bit in the past, but this is really a drone war, isn't it? I mean, we've seen a lot more starting back in Ukraine up to now, you know, been a lot of drone issues here. And now they're talking about it. There's been some things over there at Barksdale, you know, and not just Barksdale. I've seen, you know, things from other things. I mean, a couple of years ago, we had a big thing over at Langley. There have been some others, you know. So with drone systems coming in, they're saying no attacks, but given the state of what we're told sometimes and what actually happens, what guy wonders? I mean, or at least I do. So, I don't know. That kind of ties in, right?
Yeah,
I think so, Tim.
But the other thing is, I don't know, to me, at least when I see some of this drone activity going on over these airport bases, I get the feeling there's a lot of wringing of hands that nothing's happening. I mean, that's another thing that has left me somewhat. Is there no procedure? Is there no, you know, it's like, oh, well, yeah. But, you know, I know at Barksdale, they were ordered repeatedly to take cover while all these drones were roaming around in there. So why don't we have an effective response to an incursion like that? I mean, or is it a false flag situation? I mean, I don't know.
I think I'm leaning towards more of that, Tim. I mean, I know... there are drone anti-deterrent systems that are built around critical infrastructures and even prisons and jails, that sort of thing. And it's hard for me to believe that any FAA-regulated airport doesn't have something similar to that. And by drone deterrent systems, and Tim, maybe you can speak more intelligently to this than I can, but jamming signals, you know, that keeps the drone.
Something like that, yeah. Right,
absolutely. They're relatively cheap for when we're talking about the federal government and that sort of thing. So it's hard for me to believe that the technology that is somewhat old, it's not like it's brand new technology, it's been around for a little while now, hasn't been implemented into these airports across the country. So I lean towards it's on purpose. That they're either the defenses are being put turned off on purpose, or I don't know, but it is hard for me to believe that.
Well, I'd be extremely disappointed that the deterrents aren't working. I mean, according to the Barksdale incident, they employed that with no effect. So it's kind of like, well, that seems a little strange.
I wonder who built the deterrent system, if it was DJI or some other Chinese company.
Yeah, right.
We can't even use their drones. I mean, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, that I think we pretty much completely, all government agencies completely quit using DJI drones because they had a live feed that was going directly back to China.
Yeah.
Communist China.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah. So, and DJI, for folks that don't know, that it was, I think it's probably the biggest drone manufacturer that we had for a long time in the world. They built everything from the little drones that you can pick up at a Costco or a Sam's Club, all the way up to big commercial drones that for running for surveillance systems for police departments, sheriff's departments, military contracts, fire departments. Big company. I'm pretty much every law enforcement agency across the United States had DJI drones at one point in time, and they've had to get rid of them because of the software that was in them that was sending everything that that camera saw and every place that that drone went back to communist China. And they tried to come up with a patch and a fix for it, and there was never any agreements. They could never come to an agreement on it. So it was, not using DJI anymore.
Yep.
Right. Well, and we've seen this in regards to transformer switching technology and apps in electrical industry. We've talked about that before and several other things where foreign actors have embedded protocols in the hardware. I mean, the problem is a lot of this kind of stuff that, like what you're talking about, is it's hardware embedded. I mean, it's not a case of a software. It's really hard to patch around hardware with software. So I think that, and it's a real issue with being dependent on Chinese built technology, So reminds me of an old movie quote where they said, "Well, we didn't get you Pearl Harbor, so we got you with the CD players or whatever it was." But point being that there are many fronts for battle, and this certainly seems to be one of those issues right here.
Well, and I think that definitely, I think drones are going to be more used more in warfare than ever before, just because of the economic standpoint. I mean, you can build, when we're talking, okay, one of these fighter jets, $160 million, I mean, how many drones can you build for $160 million?
Well, good point. To your point, this just came across, The headline is France is preparing their war economy, and the news story deals with France. It says Paris is planning to increase their drone stocks by 400% by 2030. And it says the France military is going to increase their stocks of loitering munitions such as kamikaze drones by 400%, Safran-made AASM hammer-guided bombs by 240%, and Aster and Mica missiles, which are also guided missiles, by 30%. So we have talked in great depth about France continuing to prepare for war, and it looks like they're getting into the drone side of thing pretty heavily over the next 4 years.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? A couple months ago, we were talking about all these, like France and all these foreign countries that were, it seemed like they were preparing for war. They were up in their hospital beds and, you know, getting ready to, you know, treat, you know, what was it, 10,000 wounded people a day or... I mean, the numbers were huge. And now here we are in what appears to be World War III. I mean, just kind of interesting.
Like they knew or something.
Like they knew. Like it was planned. I keep thinking about that book. And we have a book, and I don't know how much it is, but it is a fantastic book, and it is called War is a Racket by Schmidley Butler. And have you men read that book?
I have.
Okay. Fantastic book. I don't know.
It is good.
If we'll just make it, you know, if anybody would like that book, we'll send it to you. I think $2 would probably cover the postage and handling on it, and we'll give you the book free of charge. If you'd like that, just write to us, and we'll send that out to you. It's just to me, it really fits with what's going on. I mean, you can just take if you take the dates out, war is a racket, and that's what it talks about. And it was originally speech. Do you guys remember what year that speech was originally spoken?
Was it the 30s? The 1930s?
I was thinking it was the 30s or the 40s, but I'm not sure. I just a good book. If you'd like that. Also, the other book I just finished reprinting, Awake, O America, and I think that's just a fantastic book also, and we've had to reprint that several times. If you'd like either one of those, just write to us. And send $2 to cover shipping and handling. Shipping and handling has just gotten expensive lately. Request those books, and we'll get it sent out to you. You can write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And again, the phone number to call in this morning, 970-224-4203. You know, as we talk about this stuff, it's like, man, it's like, you know, I just keep thinking wars and rumors of wars. And that's why, and that was the thoughts on one of the thoughts that I had on Passover. And if you missed the Passover was April 2nd, 2026. And if you missed it, it's one of those things that God gives you a second chance to partake of the Passover. And it is 30 days later, which would be May 2nd. And that is, I thought that was a Saturday, but I can't. May 2nd is a Saturday. And we did record Passover service live from the La Porte Church of Christ. So if you would like me to send you that DVD, I will send it to you free of charge. You can just request that. But do encourage people to partake of the Passover. I think it's more important than ever. And I think that it's just, I believe that it's something that we are to do, we are to remember. And I go into a lot of the scriptures on why it is so important on the DVD. If you missed the broadcast, actually, we got it posted at the website too. But, yeah, good information. Encourage people to keep the Passover. And if you missed it, plan on partaking of the Passover, observing it on May 2nd. So you got you've got a couple weeks to prepare for that. But do encourage you to do it.
Amen. Yeah, it's important. For sure.
And what were you going to say, Tim?
Well, we're just talking about this world situation, and kind of ties into that Matt Getz article. But, you know, Genesis 6:12 and Ephesians 6:12, and when we look at war as a racket and we look at the military-industrial complex, these men were all vetted. I mean, they were military men. They were on the inside, you know. So their statements and their understanding should carry weight because they seen it firsthand and they had to deal with it. But it was interesting because Ephesians 6:12 has been on my mind a lot lately where, you know, it talks about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood and all of the different things that we put the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. But I thought it was interesting, and I don't know, this was just a little thing I found, but Genesis 6:12 says, "And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Humanity had corrupted its way upon the earth." Which is another way of saying humanity isn't human anymore. And which is a way of saying that, you know, they tell us in Ephesians 6:12 that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, which is what humanity. I mean, so I think that we have to realize that this is a heavenly or a spiritual situation here where these lines are crossing over each other. And when we can't just lean to our own understanding because we are just human and it's flawed. So there's times we have to go back and look at things with a different lens to understand it. And that lens is our Bible and godly understanding. And it makes a huge difference in how it works. So I just thought that was... But 6:12 and 6:12, those two in Genesis and Ephesians, they're definitely related in my mind.
I'll throw this out. You know, you were talking about Genesis 6:12 and that sort of thing, and the wickedness and the crazy stuff that was going on at the time on planet Earth. And that just, it reminded me of Jesus speaking in Matthew. I think it was also in Luke when he talked about the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. And him talking about how everything had fallen apart during the days of Noah, which, you know, preceded the flood. And it does, to me, when you stop and look at just the genetic engineering, the geoengineering in the skies, all of the wickedness and pervertedness that's just permeated the land, I think I can make an argument that this is kind of like the days of Noah.
Yeah.
I think when we say things are close, I don't know the time frames, but there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there that are pointing toward that. I mean, when you start reading into it and you start looking into it and you start praying about it, it becomes, it's very much like that. I mean, they've attacked our food supplies through genetic engineering, through the corruption of the genetic lines that God ordained. You know, they see themselves as God. So, and when you look at, the food, the people, the animals. I mean, it's all going on. Go ahead, Will.
No, I'll take the crazy man detour, and Jason, rein me in if you don't want to talk about this. But I think there is a coming great deception. We know that there's going to be a great delusion, and I'm with you, Tim. I don't know. I don't know a time frame or a timeline, and I don't know because I'm a human being and I can't fathom the mysteries of God. But I will tell you that I have long suspected that the whole alien narrative, and I don't mean like Honduran aliens. I mean like, you know, the ET aliens, the whole alien narrative is going to be used to explain supernatural events that occur on this earth. It's going to be used by the enemy. I think the whole sci-fi movies and all of that stuff is just preconditioning of the human mind to accept things that are not of God supernaturally, as far as judgment or his supernatural will being done on the earth, but rather for the enemy to explain that this is aliens doing this, right? Alien technology and all of that. So it's interesting to me when you see everything going on in the world that certainly feels like the days of Noah, that you are starting to get, Tim, these soft disclosures from congressmen and assorted other individuals that are pointing, you know, the government registering alien.gov as a website and all of that sort of thing. I don't think that's coincidental. I think it is what they will use it for is an explanation. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Tim, please.
Well, I think that, and I think it's another way for them to sponge off God. I mean, they're going to take, we know that every good thing comes from God, you know, that the blessings. And they can not only claim things that you can't understand or are beyond you as being these aliens understand the way, but part of the way that they're going to gain traction is through the fact that, well, they've done all the good things for us too. You know, they've done all these, and it's a way of, they're God robbers. You know, they want to rob God's glory and God's, you know, anything that he does that's good. So I think, yeah, I think there's a scenario being built up to that. And it's, what do you want to call it? Antichrist. Yeah, that's what it is. That's the right word. I mean, so,
for sure.
Christ? No, it was the aliens over here. No.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Hello, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Kevin.
Hope you have a good coffee.
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Hello. I have several topics to bring up. I hope I can bring some to their meaning or what's going on. I'd like to start with things here in the United States. Overturning Tina Peters' conviction.
Yep.
Yep. And hopefully she'll get out of prison.
Yeah, I know. It's a messed up deal what they did there, too, with that. I mean, they overturned the conviction, but they said that, you know, she was guilty. We don't agree with her sentence, but we're going to have to decide what to do with her now. It's like, okay, so that was just kind of a waste.
But she has to remain in jail until we decide.
Exactly. I mean, just talk about a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah.
False jeopardy. Holy smokes. Yeah.
Or triple. This thing about the firing of Pam Bondi.
Yep.
And it seems like it could be related to her stating she was going to investigate AIPAC. Right? Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. Yeah,
which would make sense. I mean, I think, if you've got any kind of position like that and you're going to investigate it back, you probably ought to be planning on being canned.
Yeah. The Nebraska fires, I understand there's like 1 million acres burning.
Oh, I think it's over almost 2 million.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty. Wow. Yeah.
Oh my!
And that's the thing. It's like I really, I think there's a lot of stuff going on with that fire. I mean, Tim, that's not too far from you. But what I've noticed is you can't find anything out about the fires. I mean, very, very limited.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter.
I researched that last night. Their maps, they show nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's garbage. And we've had smoke come in from the fires. I mean, it's close enough where. Yeah, I mean, it's. It affected the visibility over here, and when the wind's just right, I mean, it's like, whoa. I mean, you step outside and you can smell it, and you breathe in smoke, and I mean, it's bad. And I've reached out to several people out there, and there's people out there that are, you know, 5 miles from it, and they can't find out what's going on with the fires.
Yeah, their maps just don't show it.
No.
And this new vaccines for ticks that are trying to bring out, they're saying we have the largest infestation of ticks, like recorded. And I don't know how they could tell that, because our winter was hard enough to really kill them off. That's a good thing when that happens.
Unless they go in and drop them all over the place.
That's exactly right.
And that's what I'm getting reports on, is that they've been finding boxes where they've been dropped all over the place. And I know it tied it. And I know I've got some people that are thinking, it's like, man, that guy's got that tinfoil hat on again. But I mean, I think that it ties in. I think that this is probably their next, you know, COVID 2.0.
I agree. Yeah.
Jason, I almost guarantee you that the boxes that they dropped in the forest and the farmlands across this country were all written in Chinese.
Yeah, I bet you. Yep. Guarantee it.
Yep.
Well, and the other thing go ahead, Kevin.
Go ahead. I like to listen.
Well, I think it's uniquely worth noting that we're talking about the fires and we're talking about the ticks and they're related. That is what they wish to do, is to see these ticks out here. And I think this is a strike against our food supply again and against our economic system again. Basically, one of the things, and I've been hearing this, I don't have any, you know, hot proof of it, but... some of these ticks are not only infected with Lyme disease, or most of them, but it's also a case of they have a allergen-producing, I don't know, microorganism in them that makes you allergic to bees, you know.
Yeah, alpha-gal syndrome.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah, so wow. I think we can see a major attack. I was thinking the other day, and I was like, yeah, it's just... cowboys and politicians, or cowboys and whoever it is, but you know, they do not want the beef industry to survive. I mean, we've seen the economic attack on the beef industry, ridiculous pricing. We've seen the fires burning up both fodder and cattle and pasture ground. We've seen now they got this tick drop. I mean, how many smoking guns does a guy need? You know, so. I think it's going on all around us.
I just want to throw out there, since we're talking about the ticks, don't forget that where Lyme disease came from, and it came from Plum Island, New York, at the Plum Island Animal Disease Research Center, and the infected ticks got loose, and they ended up in Lyme, New York. And it was a mysterious disease that nobody could answer until the federal government had to admit that they created it. And those ticks got on deer and birds and spread all across the country. That's not conspiracy theory. It's fact.
Yep.
So Lyme disease that they're now giving us a vaccine for, just remember, that's man-made, and it was made by man to be used as a weapon of war. This was being developed to drop on our enemies in a far-off land, but it didn't get dropped on our enemies. It got dropped on us. So anybody that would consider taking one of the vaccines for this, just remember, this was a weapon of war. What do you think the vaccine is?
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Already been sent back to COVID. So,
yeah. 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 You know, on an international thing, have you seen where Libya is allowing Ukraine to come in and set up three bases to attack Russia's shadow fleet?
Yeah, I heard that.
I did see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Hal Turner's reporting that Russia delivered air defense systems and it, something like in 72 hours. Anyway, 36 hours later, we started losing all these aircraft. They're just supplying them with what they need.
It feels like a world war, doesn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. And this drone stuff, wasn't there one reported over Pete Hegseth's home and some near Mar-a-Lago, right? Airports and things. NATO's not supporting this effort, whatever they call it, in Ukraine. In Iran.
Iran.
Yeah. Seven countries have refused to be involved in it. France blocking international overflights. Italy, they're not allowing bombers to land.
Spain.
Yeah. Entire airspace closed. Poland refused Patriot ballot batteries. And Switzerland, no reconnaissance flights over Switzerland. UK is saying it's not our war.
Austria as well.
Oh, yeah. Austria too. Oh, another one.
Austria, as of yesterday, they said they're closing their airspace to any United States military aircraft.
Oh, wow. Wow. I believe this invasion in Germany, Turkey's behind it, in my opinion, because they want to invade Germany with Muslims to bring back the Ottoman Empire. And I believe in that very, very much, really. And then also from Hal Turner, he gave a figure, I never heard this before, that the most missing children in the United States go missing 10 days before Easter. Have you heard that?
No, I
have not. I have heard that. I have heard that before.
Interesting. Yeah.
So is that classified?
And do you know what the second one is, Kevin?
There's
10 days before Easter, and then there's a close second as far as time frame, and it's 10 days before Halloween.
Oh, yeah, Halloween.
Interesting.
Yeah, that'd be the same.
And those are long. Yeah, those are long-standing crime statistics. That if you look at runaway and missing children, it's always Easter and Halloween, about a week and a half before.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how it deals with Easter. Is there anything Israeli connections to that?
Yeah, it's the Babylonian goddess of Ishtar, and it also goes back to some German paganism that came out of the Babylonian religion as well. Where we get our Easter bunny, or where the world gets their Easter bunny, is from something called a Osterhare, Osterhare. And that was a rabbit that laid eggs and fed on children. And that's the kind of the origins of that. So, yeah, both of those traditions as far as Easter and the Easter Bunny and that sort of thing go back to sacrifice. Ishtar was a goddess of death, as well as fertility. And
typically the Babylonians would look at children as being fertile, and that's how they derived their power, and still how they think they derived their power today.
Yeah, I know about Ishtar and all that. Thank you for the Passover service this week. So much appreciated to know the true dates of worship and what's really important. I hope you gentlemen have a good weekend, and thank you very much for all you do.
Well, thanks for calling, Kevin. We thank you for being there.
God bless you.
God bless. Bye.
Well, and you don't have to look too hard to find... you can't look in the mainstream search engines, but if you go around, there's some rabbis and stuff talking about the sacrifice of children and Passover, what they call Passover, and the blood libel and everything. Of course, the mainstream says, oh, that's anti-Semitic, and it's a myth, and it's erroneous, but some of these numbers we're just talking about make you think something different.
Well, and I was going to take a good point. I was going to take a just another minute when we were talking about that those tick diseases. You know, you look at, well, we got a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason. This is Andy over North Carolina. How are you guys doing?
Okay? Good. How are you doing, Andy?
I had a bad stint of some bleeding issue and bad sinus infection I'm dealing with, but just keep me in prayer.
We will.
I just wanted to... Okay, thank you. I wanted to comment on you. Well, you were talking about the aliens before you used to turn the world away from God and all. I'm pretty sure I don't know if you know... Well, you know James McCanney. You have him on your show. I don't know if you contact him at all, but you could try to call him up and verify this. But he said twice, I think I've heard him say this, that I think it was the German scientist von Braun that we got after the war, told either him or somebody he knew, he was told, that they were going to use aliens in order to use global takeover. I don't know. You can talk to him about that. I double check on that, but I don't know if you talk to him personally at all or email him. But
yeah, occasionally I do talk to him, yeah. I will have to ask him about that. Yeah,
because he mentioned it twice already. I was like, sounds about right.
Interesting.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize about the Watchers and, in the Book of Enoch and the fact the powers they have and how you guys have been talking about that, how they're tapping into that stuff. And, I mean, I can see how they would use that and have people think, oh, it came from aliens, and all this, not Adam and Eve and such. All right, yeah. I'll let you guys go, and thanks for Passover service and for keeping this coffee time going.
Well, yeah, thanks for being there. God bless, Andy.
All right.
We'll be praying for you.
Have a great weekend. Thank you very much.
Yep. Bye. Bye. Good point. I'm going to have to look into that. That's interesting.
Called Project Bluebeam, Jason.
Bluebeam? Okay.
Yep.
Well, they started all that. I mean, it basically started with the advent of television. If you go back to TV, far enough, I can't remember when TV actually started, but I'm old enough to remember we didn't have color TV when I first saw television. It was black and white. the point being that, the most popular shows were like things like Lost in Space or all these others where, we had these aliens, and they were early on they were bad. Well, then if there were bad aliens, there had to be good aliens. So they basically kind of reversed the focus to more of that, but they kind of brought people along to it. The bad aliens had so much power that the only thing that you could do to fight them was get good aliens, it was like, well, how about just pray to the God of the whole universe? But they're fallen angels. They're evil. They're evil ones. and they are, it's the oldest play in the book. Just, it's lies and deception, and he's the father of lies. So, you know,
amen. I want to throw a new story out there. We were talking about sacrifices and Easter and rabbis, and we've talked about AIPAC and our government and all of that. And if you guys remember, when this administration took back over, it was going to defund Planned Parenthood, and it was going to, you know, do away with all of these abortions and that sort of thing. Well, this week, the Department of Health and Human Services, they've decided, well, they're going to fund one more year of Planned Parenthood to the tune of $120 million. And this is going to be money that's specifically for abortions. So no real rhyme or reason to it, other than there was a lawsuit filed by the ACLU saying you can't do that. And there was some legal wrangling coming back and forth, and in the end, the federal government decided we'll just go ahead and fund it. So not really uplifting news as much as it's just sort of situation normal that that sort of stuff is continuing on, thanks to the justice system that we have here in the United States, that lawsuits abounded and the federal government caved in and just said, we'll just go ahead and allow that funding to continue.
Huh. Interesting.
And my take on that is a grim one. And my take on it is that's part of the sacrifice that the enemy uses. And you can't cut that off. That has to continue. And that's where we're at on that.
Wow.
I wonder how the lack of government funding is playing into that right now.
Absolutely nothing, Jason or Tim. That's for getting rid of illegal aliens. That's the reason why that's not getting funded either, because they don't want the illegal aliens to get deported.
Right.
If nobody's figured that out, you know, that they're saying they're not paying these guys or whatever, it's really just to try to get the deportation process to a screeching halt. And we'll see.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so what's switching gears a little bit. We ain't got a whole lot of time left. I heard that there was a kind of a hiccup in the trial for the kid that was supposedly shot Charlie Kirk when they couldn't match the bullet to the gun.
This is fascinating to me. If you guys remember, we were talking about this on air of why is the prosecutor giving all of their evidence out, right? Like, they're saying all of this stuff, like, this isn't what you do. And the good old ATF, which I know where you gentlemen stand with ATF.
Abolish the ATF.
Abolish the ATF, yeah, cut off their funding. But in this instance, they came back and said that they could not match the bullet taken from Charlie Kirk's body to the rifle that fired it. Now, on the surface, that is that makes everybody scratch their head, right, and say, well, that's not the right rifle. I have a greater question for you guys. I know you guys are shooters. Does anybody believe that a human being can get shot in the neck with a .30-06 and a bullet that's intact can be recovered?
No, that's impossible.
That's a good point.
Go ahead, Tim, please.
One of the things that astounded me, and we came out and said it, we looked at that rifle when they posted pictures mm-hmm. all over the place and said, that thing won't fire. And then number two, you can't disassemble it without substantial tooling and fixturing. And one of the other things that leaves me, the one that really astounds me is the fact that the ballistics lab told the truth. that's not wasted on me. I mean, you would think that would have been a rubber stamp scenario. So obviously something, God's got something up there.
I want to throw this out there. In November of 1963 in Dallas, Texas at Parkland Hospital, if you guys remember the story of the magic bullet, a pristine bullet was found on the stretcher where JFK's body was laying. And this was the bullet that they said entered into Governor Connally and President Kennedy and somehow fell out of his body on the stretcher. And this is what they used for the ballistics. It sure seems like that's what they're trying to get us to believe on this Kirk thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We'll come back to this. Hello, caller.
Hi, Jason. Terry from St. George, South New York. I just want to report I'm doing much better. Yesterday, I went to the health food store, and I got everything I needed was on sale half price, except for the raw Manuka honey and the bentonite clay.
Well, praise the Lord.
$200. Yeah, I spent $200. I got vitamins. I got everything I needed.
Well,
and then when I took my bike, I rode my bike on the bus, and I got on the bus. Somebody said, the bus driver said, somebody paid for my ride. I said, thank you, Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. The Lord's looking out for you, ain't he?
Oh, yes. And then after putting that honey and the clay on there, my arms, they feel better. I still have four of these things out. I pulled one out, man. I mean, it's good that I had this because I wouldn't have been able to get that hook out of my thumb.
Yeah.
That's all healed. No pain there, nothing.
Well, you serve a mighty and an awesome God, don't we?
Well, that's why I believe, that God has put me through this to prepare me for things like this.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, anyway, I enjoyed the program. God bless. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. We'll stay in touch. I hope you're feeling better. We're still praying for you here, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Yeah, so anyway, let's go back to the what? I know, and there is so many conspiracies going on. I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong, but I know that what they're telling us ain't the truth. That's for dang sure.
Understand this too, that the defense, the way this came out is because this is information that was withheld from the defense counsel, and it took a motion from the judge. It's called exculpatory evidence. This is stuff that's supposed to get released to the defense attorneys, and it didn't get released. In addition to the ATF finding that it's inconclusive on this bullet, it was also, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was like 6,000 hours or 5,000 hours of audio and video that wasn't turned over to the defense. It's just a lot of stuff that makes you scratch your head and think, are they trying to lose this case? Are they trying to get this case thrown out? And that's what it looks like. And that's what it's looked like from the beginning when the prosecutors in Utah were throwing out everything so that the people and the public would know. And I have a little conspiracy theory on this, and I'll just throw this out at you guys. I personally scratched my head and said, I wonder why the feds aren't jumping on this, wanting to prosecute this somehow. And it may be because they knew there was no case there because they knew that this wasn't the guy. I mean, I don't know, but I will also throw this another crinkle in the French fry. Joe Kent, the whistleblower from that came out. You know, he's been very open and about this the last couple of weeks. He said they knew there was a foreign tie to this assassination of Charlie Kirk that the FBI did not and would not investigate. And if you go back in the Wayback Machine, if you remember, when that assassination occurred, there was a jet
yep.
with no tail markings that did not make contact with tower or file a flight plan that left within 90 minutes of that assassination from that area. And by all accounts, it was
Israel.
It was it belonged to a country where people wear funny little hats. Yeah.
Well, and from what I understand, Joe Kent wanted to go and do a full investigation into that, and
shut down.
Kash Patel was the one. I think he personally was the one that shut it down, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is correct. Yep.
He nixed it. Yeah.
So, I mean, and why not? I mean, if you'd think that if he wants to go investigate it, by all means, let him investigate it.
Well, on top of this, too, you got to remember, it wasn't just Charlie Kirk. Joe Kent also came out and said that there was a foreign nexus to the Butler, Pennsylvania attempted assassination of Trump. That also wasn't investigated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think when you look at all these, it's just like this whole case. I mean, if it was any other lower profile case, it would probably be declared a mistrial or whatever, just because of all the holes in the case, the failure to identify additional information to the defense attorneys. I mean, this was exculpatory, information. And it's like, when your case gets about so full of holes, it won't fly anymore, and I think it was a travesty that he was killed. Don't get me wrong, that's not what I'm saying, but I think we're looking at a sheep being led to sacrifice or a Judas goat or something. I mean, it's like you're looking at this going, yeah, so. It's very opportunistic on the part of the, prosecuting attorney. So
interesting.
Well,
we only got about a minute left. I didn't realize time got by on me. closing thoughts, man.
buy ammo.
Yeah.
I agree. I'll tell you what, over the last couple of weeks, ammo prices are going up, and several of the distributors that I've talked to says prices are going to go up, and they're going to be going up every week, and we don't know what we're going to be able to get. Also, talking to several people that have reached out to me this last week, they told me that they were in sporting goods stores and looking at the ammo section and talking with employees at different stores, Sportsman's Warehouse, Murdoch, stuff like that. And they already told them, yep, there's an ammo shortage right now. So we've been telling you for a while now, prices were good. Get while the getting's good. If you want it, now's the time to get it, because I think it's only going to get worse from here.
Yeah. Do not delay.
Amen.
Yep.
Well, and we are out of time. Thanks, men, for being here. Thank you, Remnant, for being here. And we'll see you at church tomorrow. God bless.